Morning. It's the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice. We will be glad. The reality check, part five. It's been a little uncomfortable at times, but not intentionally. Not intentionally, because my goal is to wake us up. My goal is to wake us up as the church. The church is a separate entity from any other entity. The word says that if we are in Christ, we are a new species. We are a new group. We are a new blood type, if you will. We have an allegiance. We have part of our personalities from where we're from, our families, our backgrounds, our life experiences. But there's one thing that when we come together, that we are under the blanket. Keep this on the front burner. Listen to this scripture from Hebrews 2. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard. Stop right there. Notice the next line. Lest we drift away. You know what that tells me? That you can drift away. You can drift away. You can drift away. Things are going well, but if you're not paying attention, Linda likes to tell a story when she was a young girl and she was out on an air mattress out in the Gulf at Florida one day, and she's just a little young girl laying out there and she's enjoying that floating, and she's there and she's just in and out a little bit fading, and a little while she opened her eyes and she didn't recognize anywhere. She didn't know where she was. And she would have recognized it if she'd have walked it and done it. But when you're along, she was doing something that was good, and you just don't realize anymore. And it took her a while, and the panic set in. Take heed to the things we have heard. We have heard, lest we drift away. This is where I start today. What does it mean to drift away? It means it doesn't have to even be an overt, I quit this. It can be the circumstance of life. The scripture calls it this way. The scripture calls it that sometimes your seed and your growth will be choked by a simple thing. You think of the devil, you think of circumstance, but it actually, do you know what it actually says in the scripture? One of the things that can take you away is called the cares of this world. And just going through, and you get so busy, and you look at things, and you're angry. What are we going to do? My premise for the entire 5 weeks started me in Proverbs 14:34. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Stop right there. The people situation there. That is talking about a group. A group of people or a nation. It could be even a church. But sin in a people brings a problem, a reproach. So I said this, and my hypothesis for this 5 weeks. So if righteousness exalts a nation, am I on firm footing to say unrighteousness destroys a nation? Unrighteousness will destroy an individual, because you don't get to national sin unless you've had individual sin first. We're living in a time right now where there is unrighteousness in our nation, because there's an unrighteousness in the people of this nation. They know what they've heard, but they have drifted away. They have let other things bombard their minds. They've been discouraged, they've been intimidated, and they've been actually appeased in some areas. And when things are going well, it's not important to look at those things. And then you got a nation, not just our nation, that's the story of the nations of the world right now, of what we're going through. Since we started this, you have heard the words. I have used the words, of course, of God. You would think that. But you've also heard from David. You've heard from Solomon. I have quoted Job to you. I have brought Ezekiel before you. I have brought Daniel before you. I've brought John before you. I've brought James before you. I've brought Paul before you. And going and coming, I've brought Jesus Christ himself before you. And guess what? They are saying the same thing about what we're dealing with right now. The Bible talks about it in certain levels. We read the story of the first, and we understand, see, the thread of that runs through everything else. If you don't get that, started in the Adam, and we understand those temptations there. We understand the first Adam. We understand the concept of the second Adam that we'll be celebrating in a few weeks right now. And Linda said, I need to use a line on Easter Sunday. I got the cure for death. You know what the cure for death is? Resurrection. So the thread is there, and the scripture deals with it, but it's always in a three-type thing, because that's really important in scripture. You have our Father and our Son and the Holy Spirit working together, the one God and the triunity of the different personalities and the manifestation of God. And you've got those things, but they've all said, all those names I mentioned, they all deal with it the same way, and they're using, we're dealing with earthly, we're dealing with sensual, we're dealing with demonic. When you're getting ready to talk about individual sin leading to corporate sin and national sin, by the way, if you've got a corporate sin and a national sin, just like you've got it in your life, there must be a time and a place of repentance. We don't have anybody leading that yet. We need to listen very carefully. The Old Testament talks about that which is earthly and sensual and demonic. We've dealt with it for the last few weeks. We've identified it as the problems. And this deals with the spirit of, we're dealing with the world, we're dealing with the flesh, we're dealing with the devil. These are the things we're dealing with. We're dealing with the world, the flesh, the devil. I've read to you, and I spent some time for a few weeks ago on the Ephesians 6:12. I'm not going to read it, but I'm going to remind you of what we're dealing with, because we have a tendency sometimes to look at people and think that's the problem. People, they're sinful people. They're doing sinful things. But the deeper motivation are those three things we mentioned ago. What are we dealing with? Paul says right now, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood things, because that distracts you. See, we are distracted today. We're distracted by the shiny things. We're distracted by this thing of going on, or this group. Don't be distracted. You are supposed to be covenant kids. You're supposed to be above those things. I don't trust any of them right now, because they are honoring the world, the flesh, the devil in their lives. That is a sinful thing, and consequently, unrighteousness is leading to the destruction of what we're dealing with. Don't give me an R. Don't give me a D. Don't give me anything else. Give me what the word, give me covenant, all right? Give me covenant. And you as covenant people need your radar tuned in Jesus' name. Paul said you're not wrestling against flesh and blood things, but against what? Principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Of this world, it actually says, and spiritual wickedness in high places. I told you I started putting this all together because I went home after the New Year's Eve service because I was really ashamed of myself. Linda even laughed at me about it yesterday. We were casually talking about it, and it came up in lunch. I really felt bad. I've been to all those New Year's services. I've done the communion. I've smiled. I've sung the songs. We're excited about that. But I stood up in front of you, and I basically said, it's not going to get any better. And I said, in fact, it's going to get worse. I was preaching my heart. I was telling you what I was feeling and seeing. And I remember going to bed that night and saying, you really gave them something to encourage them with, didn't you, when you walked away? The old guy was at the altar. He said it was for better or for worse. Yeah, it got worse, he said. And I started looking at this, and I got to tell you, I haven't changed. It is going to get worse. It is going to get worse. But I am not living in cringing terror. I know something. I have a secret I want to share with you. At this point, spiritual wickedness is the loudest voice going on right now. The rulers of the darkness look like they're winning right now. And what I've done each week, I've given you some nibbles for some food for thought. And this is where it got a little uncomfortable, because a lot of times people don't, they want to sing their songs and praise their praise and have their bumper stickers and drink their coffee and enjoy church. You can't raise your hand and worship with coffee in one hand. You're here to worship. You're not here to fool around. You're not here to have a social club. You're here to meet. Do you think they would do that when they brought that sacrifice into the temple? No, they were standing because they were in the presence of a holy God, and it scared them to death. But yet they did what they had to do with my hands lifted up and my mouth filled with praise, a heart of thanksgiving. Let me give you some. I gave you some things of facts over the last few years, some things that maybe you never thought of. I had a couple of people say, I didn't believe it, but I looked them up. Let me give you some things, and I've been very, very strong about the move toward our children, toward our babies. Let me talk about that for just a minute right now. Going for our babies. I was being kind of facetious with it, but I said, you don't see any drag queen story hours in an old folks home, but they want to go to the kids' library. You've heard, I'm going to give you some things, not old,
but have happened since we started this series. Got it. Have you heard of Toys for Tots? How many of you as kids, you used to do that all the time? We'd see the Great McNutt and the other people on TV, and we'd bring the Toys for Tots and all the TV shows. Do you know there's something deeper? It's not with those. Toys for Tots, a good organization. But I said, they got people that want dolls for pedophiles. Just a few days ago, a Kentucky state senator, I got her name right in front of me, she is a doctor, she's also a professor, she referred to pedophiles, that means people, well, you know what it means, and they have changed their name. That's another thing, by the way. The world, the flesh, and the devil will try to change their name to make it easy and an easy thing to say. Do you know what they're called now? The doctor called their MAPS. They're referred to as MAPS. You know what MAPS are? Minor Attracted People. There's a designation. They're attracted to the... Now, this just came up this week. She argued in front of the state senate. This wasn't in New Jersey and New York. This was in Kentucky with the banjos and the grits and everything else up there, y'all. She argued right now on behalf of the MAPS. She suggested that they would look into having child sex dolls that they can use and give to them. She said it with a straight face. Now, some of you are more upset that I said it than the fact that she said it. And if that's the case, please, please. I have watered it down. This is demonic foolishness with a straight face. Sexualizing children and defending people who do things to children. Just this week in California, parents got very, very angry in a third grade class in an elementary school. They had learned that the teacher in the class had created LGBTQ and whatever it is, plus clubs for the third grade. All other clubs in the school, for example, the garden club and things like that, require permission slips from the parents that they can attend. This club was done secretly. It did not require permission slips and was not even mentioned in the school newsletter that went to the moms and dads. And the principal this week, when confronted, that it was just an error. That's a principality, a power, a ruler of darkness and spiritual wickedness, all in one ball right there. I'm not talking about something of forever. I'm talking about something now. And this thing of what's going on in the world right now, we're just supposed, things are, the idea is to damage every mooring that you have. Every mooring that you have, whether it's the mom, the dad, the marriage covenant, whether it's the way people look at little children, because they, basically the concept is, we know better than you know, mom. And to denigrate those things right now. Do you know that in an area in Ontario, Canada, not far from Toronto, crime has gotten so bad, just this week, the police department in one of these Canadian towns asked the people to do, they sent a note out, please leave your car fobs, you know what those are, the little, those things there, leave your car fobs outside on your porch. That way the armed thieves can steal more easy without confronting the homeowners. This week. I've been saying different things, and you're thinking, well, that's old, but what about now? This is just since then. Here's the actual quote from the city official. They're breaking into your home to steal your car. They don't want anything else. I'm thinking of Romans. Presuming themselves to be wise, they become utter fools. And what they're doing about the population, I don't have time for that right now. When you read the stories and the things they want to do to people, this is nothing but evil. When you look at the theories from Robert Malthus and even Paul Ehrlich, his Population Bomb, written back in the 60s or the 70s, the early 70s, the whole bottom line is that we need to exterminate people because the problem is there are too many people. There are too many people right now. In fact, one quote from Robert Malthus and also Ehrlich, Paul Ehrlich, there are too many humans that exist. I'm going to tell you, no, it's not the problem there are too many people. The problem is there are too many carnal, ungodly people. But if I read right, God will take care of those things. Now I must stay active and engaged, but God's going to do these things. How do I know? Ask the golden cow idolaters. Ask Noah's neighbors. Ask the citizens of Israel. Ask the citizens of Babel. Ask the citizens of Jericho. Ask the citizens of Sodom and Gomorrah. Ask them, what does God think of those things right now? The fight is real. The fight is demonic. You know, in high school, we read that carnal hypothesis that was fiction. But I'm afraid people took the fiction book of Orwell in 1984 and looked at it as a blueprint. Why? It is to change everything that we know, that we hold to. And if we can break all of those things, you will own nothing, we're told. Well, that's not their business. My problem is keeping me between the rails right now, because I feel this, I see it, but at the same time, I'm strong. I'm strong. Take comfort. Be encouraged. In the confines of this world and the eternity, this is just going to take a minute. Because there is a higher world above those spirits. And knowing this, I have come to encourage you. And I wrote in the parentheses, encourage. You got to be kidding me. You're telling me all these things and you want me to be encouraged? Yeah, I want you to be encouraged, because there is a higher word. There's a higher authority. They're writing their own Bible right now. I'm coming to you with the gospel, therefore, be encouraged. Don't be afraid. Stop being shocked. Because as I said New Year's Eve, you know, it's going to get worse. Vadi Bachman is quite a preacher of the gospel. And sometimes we have a tendency to think we're just special people. He said, the gospel is not about how special you are, but it's about how sovereign God is. And I know that this God is in charge. And this silly woman who wants to get dolls and give them to pedophiles, and we endorse those things instead of saying, no, this is perverted, we will walk in this. There is a sovereign God, and he's not finished. So that is my word of encouragement. That's why I'm here. Seriously, how can we not be encouraged? How can we not be encouraged? When at times it seems it's much easier to be otherwise right now. Do not be disengaged. Pay attention, but let your Holy Ghost discernment. And Linda said, you need to tell them how to do it. Well, if you've been reading the Word enough, if you've been filling your ears with that, if you've been reading and then praying, if you've been reading the same scripture in other translations and growing, if you've been reading books to enrich you, if you've been reading news services that'll give you a heads up of certain things, and you will find with the time that you spent, You will start thinking more like what that word says. If you've lived with someone for a few years, and I say it over and over, but it's the greatest illustration so completely right now. How many times have you sat down in a restaurant and you look at two different menus, and one of you says, I think I want this, and the other one says, you know, I was looking at that too. That's just a little thing there. Imagine what it is when we say, God, what about this? He said, I was looking at that too. I was looking, because the time spent, and you start thinking like that. And then when you feel that radar come up inside of you, you go, no, that's not it. That's not it. Lord, give me direction. What can I do? I'm gonna give you three words when it's easier to be discouraged, when it's easier to be afraid. I'm gonna give you three words right now, three statements. Ready? Wake up, wise up, word up. Say it with me. Wake up, wise up, word up. Yes, I know. I have edited what I wanted to say to you today. I've got a lot more, but the tendency is sometimes, it's like when somebody gives their testimony when they've been saved and they've really done some really bad things. They tell the bad parts better than the end of what Jesus did for them, because we're just hanging on every word. Gee, how bad was it, you know? And that should not be the priority. The priority is, I was once lost, but now I am found. I was once blind, but now I see. But the more you wake up, Now, how do you know it's true? Does it line up with the Word? Does it line up with the Word? Be careful of people flipping out with little words on you. Does it line up with the Word? Wise up, too. Wise up. Word up. You start walking with this mindset. Yeah, crazy. I even wrote this in my notes. The crazies are loose. But I wrote the word but, and I underlined it. But I am encouraged. I'm encouraged even through the whole book. Do you know what it says? Do you know what it says? And you may not even know anything about, especially this book in the Old Testament. But here's what you need to know when you see things on the news that are creeping you out and are freaking you out. You know what it says? You know what it says in the book of Habakkuk? Here's a simple statement. The Lord is in his holy temple. Bam! You need to know that. The Lord is in his holy. Do you see what they? Yeah, but the Lord's in his holy temple. Do you hear what they're saying? Yeah, but the Lord is in his holy temple. Do you feel? But the Lord is in his holy. He's on the throne. The Lord is in his holy temple. If you just took a picture of that and kept that up on your screen grab up there, the Lord is in his holy temple. That's all. I'm discouraged. But yeah, but the Lord's in his. Did you see what they did? Yeah, but the Lord's in his holy temple. Because we're living in a time where it's a covenant versus a culture. It is a light, it is a darkness. But as I said in the beginning, unrighteousness doesn't appear in a nation until unrighteousness appears in a person. And part of the problem we are in today is because the church has been a problem. The church has not stepped up. You know, you read those scriptures, and by the way, don't get so enamored trying to figure out what Revelation says. You're not going to figure it all out anyway. I read it, I love it, and I have some very strong opinions about it. The bottom line, you be ready, you could die today. But study that, know those things. It's so important, and there are glimpses of truth in there. And he's telling us something. And you know, and the longer you stop, the longer you wake up, the longer you wise up and word up, you're going to start seeing. Then that's when you know. Revelation speaks hope. It speaks peace. Why? Because God is in his holy temple. And regardless of what they do, the horn's going to blow and all cases are settled right then. But right now, we got a problem. The scriptures talk about a great falling away. Who's that going to be? That's going to be people who did the church drill all their life. And maybe they sat under somebody who is more social than gospel. Maybe it was someone who changed what the exact word said. The word talks about people that take the truth of God and they twist it into a lie. And what happens is they're disillusioned when they run through difficulties and problems. Be prepared, and know that the Lord is in his holy temple. He's going to get you through. This is not, that voice might be the loudest voice in the world today. It's not going to be the loudest voice when the horn blows. I promise you for the end, and it will be us. We will scoff at it for all the ages of eternity right now. Don't be afraid. But the problem has been the church people have not spoken to people in straight realities and said to them, in this world, you will walk through some things. In this world, you can, and they're going to get louder because that's what they do. The scripture even warned us. Every one of us, you know, is it getting crazier than ever? Yeah, you know why? It's getting closer to his coming than ever. Do you know the scripture says the devil is screaming, the devil is wailing, the devil is kicking and screaming? Well, scripture says it clear because he knows his time is short. And in the confines of history of one day, it's like 1,000 years to him. You're only 2 days into this, y'all. He's not where he knows how this is going to turn out. But the church has been a problem. A friend of mine said it this way. You need to know this, though. God's church is not in trouble. Man's church is. Boom. He is in his holy temple. God's church is not in trouble. Man's church. So know this. You have a God. I have a God. We have a God. We must be on our watch. Pastor Alan Jackson is, anointed. Different guys are anointed for different things. I think what Eric McTaxis is doing right now is a specific anointing. His book on the American church, his book about Bonhoeffer, his books about different ones. He's way ahead of the game. God is using him, and he's taking a lot of grief because he's saying some things that might be a little uncomfortable. Alan Jackson from Tennessee has a very strong call with regards to talking about the people of God and being ready. And in one of his messages not long ago, he made the statement, he said, the church must be on our watch. Let me read something to you first. He said, the church needs to repent. Because on our watch, remember talking about man's church? Ungodliness has flourished. He said, on our watch, we've sacrificed children. On our watch, we've redefined marriage. And on our watch, the most basic biology of our lives, we call confusing now. But God is not the author of confusion. He said, on our watch, we have said we don't want Jesus' name mentioned in the public square. And he says something that is, to me, is quite strong. He makes this statement. Our problems are not because of the wicked. You see that? Our problems are not because of the wicked. The solution has to start with us. We are salt and light. So before you start hanging out the wicked and standing on the street corner with a sign on the front of you screaming you're going to hell, all of you, make sure your heart's right. Make sure you're walking in the word. Make sure you wake up. Make sure you wise up. Make sure you word up. If the church would do that, a lot of things would change. Before you start pointing fingers at the old sinful world. And in preview from last week, I spent some time in 1 Thessalonians 5. I'm just going to paraphrase the first part of it. In 1 Thessalonians 5, he's talking to godly people. And in verse number 2, I think he says something to the effect of, you know quite perfectly well the day of the Lord's return is going to come unexpectedly when people are saying everything is peaceful and secure. That's what they're trying to do right now. If you do what we say to do, you will live peacefully, you will live secure. We will take care of all of your needs. We will do those things. You do not need to go any further than 50 miles from where you were born and raised. You do not have to do that. You will eat what we give you. You will drive what we give you. You will not do these other things. You will not do, and we will take care of all of these things, and you don't have to own anything, and you can just rent things, but they don't tell you. Do you know that I've got something on my phone that came last night I showed Linda? Do you know with some of these IDs and these recognition things right now, do you know that I got a picture right now of a restaurant in China just one day this week? They walked in with the face ID and they went to everybody in the table. And if that face popped up on any data bank, they took all of them. That's happening right now. The Christian News Post came out early this morning that says Cuba is doubling down now on the fight on religious freedom. They're doubling down on it. They're going deeper than they've ever gone before. The devil's raging because he knows his time is short. You'll be safe if you do what we tell you to do. You know, I don't take too much advice from people that want to kill me. But notice what he says. Remember what I said? Remember what I said? He's in his holy temple. But you're not, watch this encouragement word, verse 4. But you aren't in the dark. I told you I'd give you something to encourage you. I told you I was right. I was right on December 31st, but I'm right today. You aren't in the dark about these things. And notice the loving, he didn't have to add this little phrase, but notice it's for me to encourage me, encourage brothers and sisters. You're not going to be surprised when it gets crazier and crazier when this happens. And by the way, one translation says it this way. You won't be surprised when this overtakes you, okay, when it happens. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Do what you know to do. Prepare. I'm not of these ones. God's just going to take you. No, don't say that. Do what you can. Save what you can. Yeah, and take care of your food situations. Do these things with your money. Make sure you're doing things smart. Because it only takes a blink in one. You know, you thought you'd communicate with people forever, but 20 years ago, a wind blew down and water blew down your cell phones. You couldn't talk, and nothing could be done. A few weeks ago, your phones wouldn't work for a whole day. And people went, oh, my God. It was kind of funny. You know, had people running and had other people had their beans and bullets, and they were headed to the hills already. And then they tell us now it was a solar flare. I don't believe that. I've got to wake up. I've got to wise up. I got to word up. Be encouraged. Don't be afraid. He said, watch this now. For you are all children of the light and of the day. Linda's got a thing she just over and over and over. It just never stops. We're driving down the road this morning. It's dark. The rain is beating on our windshield. We're fighting it. We're going to serve the Lord. And she says to me, she said, you know something? What's that, sweetie? In heaven, there won't be any rain. She said, in fact, in heaven, there won't be any night. She's got this thing. She don't want to have to sleep. She doesn't want to miss a thing. She said, it's a waste of time there. And then when she starts going through this thing, you know, you sleep your whole life. You've slept at one third of your life already. My God. And she starts saying those things, and I'm laying wide awake wondering, what am I missing? She says, why? I'm a Christian. He's told us he's light. You are all children of the light in the day. We don't belong to the darkness in the night. You see that? You're talking Bible. So, be on your guard. Or as Alan Jackson said, be on your watch. Do you remember when I started 5 weeks ago, I came to you and I told, like the scripture says, I'm coming to you, as the scripture says, as a watchman on the wall. The watchman tells you what he believes he can see, what is coming. And that's where I started. These are things. And you are now those same kind of people. Be on your guard. Do not be asleep. See, that's another thing, like the others. Stay alert. And the reason I picked the New Living Translation, because I like this last word. Stay alert and be clear-headed. So you read a little bit further, and it goes on down, and he gives the purpose that you ought to spend some time in this chapter. He tells them why God sent Jesus. He tells that whole story there. Not to pour anger on us, by the way, okay? Not to pour, but that he loves us. In fact, he actually says in that scripture, in the middle of that, he says, and we are in him, and whether we are dead now already or will be dead, or whether we're alive when he comes, we will all be made alive when, regardless of where you are. So I notice this last statement here, because I failed you so miserably on December 31st. Verse 11 says this: so encourage each other, build up each other, just as you are already doing. So today I start right here. What can I do, though? It seems hopeless. We're not winning this thing. All right, I'm going to give you a thought maybe you haven't heard me say before. I think it fits perfect. I'm trying to land this plane. Do you want to give the devil a black eye? Do you want to finish with a high hand like the children of Israel? You know, I love that statement. And it said when they came out of Egypt, they were slaves. They had been beat. They had been abused. But it said they came out with a high hand. I mean, just a little bit of attitude. You know what I mean? They had back wages, and they had the gold, the silver, and the Louis Vuitton. They had everything there when they're pulling out right there. It seemed hopeless. What can I do to give him a black eye? One man said it this way: one of the most persuasive satanic temptations in the depraved age in which we're living is that Christians can do very little or nothing to stem the tide of evil. So they get frustrated and say, why try? That's where we are right now. Why do I even try this? But he said the truth is quite in the reverse. His name is Doc Sandlin. He's a good writer. And here's what he said. Listen to this statement. Every act of righteousness today will contribute to the final stake in the heart of Satan and in his insurrection. So what do we do from this point today? Linda said, give them a concrete thing. You start by living righteously. You start by living righteously. The act of living righteously is a fist in the face of hell. They weren't able to dissuade you or to persuade you. They weren't able to change your mind. Every act of righteousness that we do as unto God, it is a fist in the face of hell. Turn those tables. I like what one of the Psalms says. Start with God. Start with his word. And by the way, you want to know something about his word? Literally, one size fits all. How many of you have been ordering stuff from the internet and you put it on? And somebody in the Philippines isn't shaped like you are. Somebody in Vietnam somewhere is not shaped like you are. I saw a t-shirt that looked really good and they were selling me on it. And I like that. I want to buy that thing. I put it on. I look like an egg with a rubber band on it. You know, like that. And it was like, in fact, it was a size up from what I would normally get there. And I couldn't even put my arms down. Here I am frustrated right now. One size fits all in this gospel, though. Once and for all men and all people. So here's your reality check. You ready for it? We have a God. His word will keep you as you have to stand against the world, the flesh, and the devil.
This word is the truth foundation of our encouragement. All of the responses come from our belief of who God is. You need to remind yourself who you are and whose you are in this drama. Psalm 46, verse 1 says it this way: God is our refuge and strength. He's always ready to help in times of trouble. And I love down there a little bit further in verse 6 where it says, the nations are in chaos. Is this here? And their kingdoms crumble. God's voice thunders and the earth melts. I can hear our old friend Armin Morales singing, our God's a big God. Why is this? The next line I give you is going to connect you with everything I've preached for the last 5 years. Ready? Verse 7. The Lord of heaven's army is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress today. Be encouraged, you betcha. Be encouraged, yeah. Encourage yourself. Start with God. Start with the foundation of encouragement. It's not a magic trick. It's a faith exercise. It is over and over. Your exercise is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 30 days or 31 days in every month, and then every month thereafter. You've got to remain active, vibrant, engaged, and alert in the Word. And as I've read over and over, be on guard, be engaged, but be encouraged at the very same time. Be on guard, be engaged, but be encouraged. That's the reality check. All of the answers are in this Word. I will not fear. So therefore, that's how we all stand up right now, and we make our affirmation that we made 5 weeks ago, but we made it at the beginning. Today we make it at the close. You hold your word in your hand, whether you're reading it on the phone or whether you have a tablet or a pad. And I want us, this is how we land the reality check. Say it with me loudly. Ready? This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. One more time. This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call. It is not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. So don't be afraid. Don't be mean. Don't be crazy. Know that there is a God. He's on the throne, and know that he is tuned in to the affairs of each one of us. Lord, we just love you. Lord, we just thank you. Lord, we bless you. Lord, we love you this morning. Take just a moment and bless his name right now.